Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for coming. We have a great group of people here. I have Colin Bishop, who's Feed More of Western New York. He's the Chief Communications Officer. Deacon Steve Schumer, President and CEO of Catholic Charities. Pastor Cesar Galarza of the Community Church Jehovah Jireh. Pastor Rebecca Menser of the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. Gail Potter, a SNAP recipient. Feed More volunteers and Feed Food Security Advocates. So thank you all for coming. Now, we have a great group here today. It's sort of like a joke. We have a Jewish senator, two pastors, and a deacon all walk in together. But why do we have such an incredible group? The reason we have an incredible group is because this issue is so important. And it's not often we get a crowd like this, but it's even rarer that you get a Jewish senator and a Catholic deacon together, both of whom's last name is Schumer. And maybe generations ago, somehow we were related, but who knows. But anyway, we're here today not over a policy issue and not over a political issue. We're here today over a moral issue, feeding the hungry, which our scriptures tell us is one of the missions of mankind, to feed the hungry. And we want to make sure that our families, our seniors, our kids, our veterans have enough to eat. We can all agree no child should ever go to bed hungry. When a kid can't eat, goes to bed hungry, they can't function. They can't learn well in school. They can't really have a good social interaction with people. It just totally starts things downhill. Food is the fundamental building block which people desperately need. And food insecurity has long been an issue in Buffalo, in Western New York, one that was thrust into a spotlight 3 years ago during the horrible racist shooting that occurred at Top Supermarket on the East Side, the anniversary of which will be May 14th. It's a couple of days away. But given the anniversary is so close, I do want to take a minute to just for we to think of those who were lost. Thank you. Now, we've made progress since that tragic day, and I was able to pass bipartisan the Safer Communities Act, the first major gun safety legislation in decades, because of the feat of dedication of the families here in Buffalo, some of whom came down to Washington to lobby. That bill's helping get dangerous guns off the street. It's increased mental health funding and done much more. We've also made progress, until recently, about addressing food insecurity. In fiscal year 2024, I was able to get $3 million for Feed More to build a new facility out in Hamburg, which will expand efforts to combat food insecurity across Western New York. The year before, we got $2 million to expand Feed More's facility here in Buffalo. So it doubled its current capacity, the ability to feed people, because the need is on the increase, as I'm sure our advocates will let us know, is greater. But right now, the momentum to stop hunger in Buffalo has been reversed. It's at risk. Food experts, food security experts, say it's going to get a lot worse. And some of that is due to inflation, but a lot of that will cost people more money. The tariffs, even with the changes, will cost more money. But food banks normally fill the gaps during times like this. When people have to pay more for food, when people are having trouble making ends meet, when people have lost their job or become ill and can't feed themselves or their kids, we step in. But the cuts that have occurred are devastating and preventing this from happening. Here in Western New York, Feed More has been decimated by Trump's USDA cuts. They've already have 8,000 cases of food, fruits, vegetables, eggs, meat, all of which comes from local farmers, have been canceled. That's $3.5 million of good fresh food that had to be canceled. Of course, it hurts the people who need the food, but it also hurts our local farmers, because food assistance tries to rely on local produce to fill the needs and fill the gap. So that is a devastating cut. It was already bad enough with the cutbacks that the USDA made that I just mentioned. But we have just learned last night that House Republicans are rushing through a budget to try and pass Trump's tax bill, and they are cutting $230 billion out of SNAP, the food assistance program. That's the main program we use to fight hunger in America. The House proposals indicate it's the largest cut in food assistance history, ever. The largest cut in SNAP history ever, and that's by a lot. It's backwards as it gets. You know why they're doing this? Why are they taking the money out of feeding children, of feeding veterans, of feeding the elderly, all to give tax breaks to the wealthiest billionaires in America? Now, you know, God bless the billionaires. They got plenty of money. But they don't need a tax break in general, and they certainly don't need one when it's taking food out of the mouth of kids who are going to go to hungry at night when they go to sleep. So it's a double whammy. First, the cuts that they already made, that the administration already made to USDA, and now the elimination, not the elimination, but the slashing of SNAP. It's a double whammy. So we're here to do two things. First, we're here with faith leaders and advocates who are on the front lines. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to show faces and real people who suffer when they don't have food. We don't want to show it with just words, but with faces and fixtures and families about how essential SNAP is. But second, we're calling our New York House Republicans to block this bill if it continues to slash SNAP. We have seven Republicans in the New York delegation, including a nearby Congressman, Langworthy, Tenney not that far away, and we're urging them to say no. If four of those seven would say, we will not vote for a bill with SNAP cuts like this, Speaker Johnson, the Republican leadership of the House, wouldn't be able to do it. So we're asking them, we're imploring them, we're demanding of them, and we're begging them, please. Feeding the hungry is what our scriptures teach us. So that's what our scriptures teach us we should do. That's what SNAP does. And it's been a grand tradition. Democrats and Republicans have always been united on SNAP until now. And now, President Trump comes in and says, cut it. And why? Again, tax breaks for the wealthiest people? Give me a break. So let me explain how devastating these cuts would be. Everyone here, Deacon Schumer, Reverend Dustin, Pastor Galarza, Pastor Rebecca, our families, our volunteers are worried sick about this. How will our most needy afford to put dinner on the table if their SNAP benefits shrink and shelves at food banks are empty? 3 million families in New York get SNAP. 3 million. Over 208,000 kids, seniors, and families in Western New York rely on SNAP to afford to eat. If the plan of $230 billion of cuts go through, it would hurt everyone, from the farm to the table. And by the way, you know, the old idea, oh, this money goes for candy or booze. No, there are strict limits, as these people will tell you. It goes to healthy foods, to vegetables and fruits and meat and eggs and bread, things that people need. Farmers all across Western New York, Erie County, and elsewhere will bear the brunt of this immoral decision. Farms from North Collins to Hamburg, North Buffalo, and East Aurora depend on SNAP to sustain their connection to local consumers, because SNAP always tries to buy local produce. It's quickest, it's freshest, it's cheapest. But if SNAP is cut, it's not only devastating to the families, it erodes an important market of locally grown produce for our farmers. When families can no longer afford to buy fresh local food, farms lose one of their best sources of income. Food banks have already been cut to the bone by DOGE, those first U.S. Department of Agriculture cuts I mentioned, and our churches and community groups will do their best. Under the current plan, the average person would be cut down to an average of $5 a day for food. Go to the supermarket. You can't buy a dozen eggs for $5. $5 a day, that's what they think people can live on. To pay taxes, tax breaks for billionaires. You expect our seniors to live for $5 a day, or a mother to be able to afford her kids? It's just awful. Well, the scripture calls on all of us to open our hands and our hearts wide to those in need, to give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty. It teaches us that no one is exempt from this call, and that includes the federal government. Here are some numbers for the 26th congressional district. 35% of people with SNAP benefits are children in this congressional district, 14% are elderly, 10% disabilities. So that means 60% of all of them are children, elderly, and people with disabilities. In total, the New York 26th gets over $337 million from SNAP every year. In Erie County alone, 150,000 households, 16% of the county. We need New York Republicans to join us in this fight. Many are scared of going against Trump, but they know how bad these cuts are. They're unpopular. By the way, when you look at the things Americans least want to cut, food assistance to the hungry is at the top of the list. Even a little bit above Medicaid, as bad as those cuts are, and I'll talk about those in a few minutes. But this is just baloney. Until now, our Republican colleague has said, well, we don't know the extent of the cuts. Maybe they won't be so bad. But the budget last night reveals just how bad it is. They cannot hide anymore. And when they say they don't know what it is, I would call it bull stuff. Or in Brooklyn, Deacon Schumer, I might say something else, but not here, in front of the clergy. So, if there's waste and abuse, come and tell us what it is. They don't say that. They say there's a lot of waste and abuse. Point it out, we'll get rid of it. The food we have here is not waste and abuse. Flour, is that waste and abuse? Milk, is that waste and abuse? Give me a break. We all know that's an excuse. If they point it out, we will eliminate it. But that's not what's happening. It also could hurt New York State, because the state and the localities, Erie County, depend on this SNAP money. And if they're forced to step into the lurch, they don't have the money for it. It's estimated that over 8 years, it would cost New York State about $3 billion. Nobody has that kind of, the state does not have that kind of money. So, we need our Republican colleagues to stand up. We're in the fight of our lives to protect a program that used to be sacred. We must win this fight. We must win this fight. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep SNAP. We also, one more point, we need people who hear this on the news media or from the groups here to make their voices heard. Call your congressman, call your senator. Well, here, your senator's here. You don't have to call me or Senator Gillibrand. But call your congressman and say, please don't cut SNAP. Demand they don't cut SNAP. Abe Lincoln said public sentiment is everything. If people call and let that public sentiment be known, it'll really help. So, I want to thank everybody here. We're going to hear from our colleagues, and then I'll say a little words about tariffs, drug prices, Medicaid, and gutter, and the gutter airplane. Okay? Okay, so our first speaker is, I have the list in order, I think it's Deacon Schumer. No? No, it's not. Okay. Well, you can see why I wanted that. Our first speaker is Colin Bishop of Feed More, the Chief Communications Officer. Colin.
I want to thank all of you for being here today, especially Senator Schumer, who arranged this important event, and it's a longtime champion of an advocate of the work that we do here and the community, ensuring that people are fed. So thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Colin.
This warehouse is Feedmore's warehouse for our food bank distribution network. From here, we deliver fruits, vegetables, dairy, proteins, non-perishables to nearly 400 partner agencies around Erie, Niagara, Cattaraugus, and Chautauqua counties. Those partner agencies are the places that people who are in need of nutritional assistance turn to: food pantries, soup kitchens, and other feeding programs. Representatives from many of them are here, and you'll hear from them as well. As you can see, this work requires the caring effort of many, many people. And we all do it because we believe that nobody should go hungry. We also know that nourishing food has an incredibly positive impact on your ability to do well in school, and well in work, and well in life. Providing nutritional assistance is not a hand out, it is a hand up. When you're not hungry, it's hard to do your best. Nutritional assistance removes that barrier to success and allows people to achieve their full potential. But it is becoming harder for us to do this work. Last year, Feedmore received $14.9 million in federal funding. So far this year, a substantial part of those funds have been cut, frozen, or terminated entirely. In March, we were notified about a cut to the Commodity Credit Corporation, funds that we use for TFAP purchases. TFAP is the Emergency Food Assistance Program, and you see some of that product behind us that we receive through the TFAP program. That cut will result in the loss of roughly $3.5 million in high-value staples like frozen proteins for Feedmore this year. In addition, we also learned that a federal program called the Local Food Purchase Assistance Cooperative Agreement, or LFPA, will not be renewed. Through that program, we previously received $2 million for food purchases from local farms. And finally, roughly $200,000 we received through FEMA to purchase food is currently frozen. Altogether, that's nearly $6 million out of the 14.9 that we'd received last year that we are losing or may lose. That is a substantial number when you look at the total federal budget that we receive. We hope for a day when we don't need millions of dollars in funding because the need is lower, but that day is not today. These funding decreases actually come as the number of people in our community are in need of assistance is increasing. In 2024, Feedmore served more than 165,000 individuals. That was a 16% increase from the previous year and a 46% increase over the last 3 years. The number of children, adults, and seniors receiving assistance here in Western Newark is all growing. Much like all of us work together to provide nutritional safety net, federal hunger relief programs like TFAP and SNAP depend on each other as well. SNAP is the first line of defense for someone who is nutritionally insecure. It provides funds for them to pay for food at grocery stores and select the food they want to prepare in their own homes. In addition, those purchases help support the local economy and farms. But SNAP alone is not always enough. Some recipients only receive $23 for an entire month of groceries. It's often hard to make those dollars last the entire month, so many recipients come to a food pantry or one of our partner agencies to receive additional assistance. Any cut to SNAP would increase the need for additional assistance through our food bank distribution network. These programs work together to provide a strong nutritional safety net against hunger. That's why a cut to any feeding program amounts to a cut to all of them. We must protect TFAP, we must protect SNAP. Together, these programs help people thrive.
Great job. Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
And now we have Deacon Schumer, the head of Catholic Charities for Buffalo.
Thank you, Senator.
CEO.
Close enough. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you, Senator Schumer, for coming to Western New York to raise awareness about this critically important need in our community. In Western New York, thousands of families face an often invisible crisis, food insecurity. It's a crisis that doesn't just impact those who are homeless or unemployed. It affects working parents, children, seniors, and veterans. And it's here in our neighborhoods every single day. In the last 12 months alone, there were more than 25,000 unique visits to the 9 food pantries operated by Catholic Charities of Buffalo, 9 lifelines for people facing hunger. These pantries are more than just places to pick up canned goods. They're community anchors. They offer hope, dignity, and stability to families who may not know where their next meal is coming from. We are, however, just a stitch in our community's safety net. Our work is made stronger through our partnership with Feedmore Western New York. And together we form the critical safety net that ensures that fresh, nutritious food reaches those who need it most. Feed More Western New York helps to supply food, logistics support, nutritional education, resources that empower our pantries to do more than just feed people. We nourish bodies and we lift spirits. But we're facing a real and immediate challenge: cuts and reductions in federal funding. Federal programs like SNAP and TFAP provide essential food supplies and funding to food pantries all across the country. If these resources are cut or removed, the impact will be devastating. Food pantries like ours have already had to begin planning for contingencies to ensure that we can serve those who depend upon us. If cuts become permanent, families could go without meals. Seniors may face difficult choices between food and medicine, and children may be left to go to school hungry. For Catholic Charities and other community providers, the loss of funding means difficult decisions. It could mean turning people away. It could mean empty shelves. It certainly means a heavier burden on the staff, volunteers, and local donors who are already stretched thin. We recognize that food insecurity is not just a problem for someone else, it's our problem. And Catholic Charities of Buffalo, alongside Feed More Western New York, is committed to addressing it, but we cannot do it alone. As we advocate for continued and increased federal support, we must also come together as a community to raise awareness, to volunteer, to donate, and to push our leaders to protect programs that serve our most vulnerable neighbors. Let's ensure that no one in Western New York goes hungry. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
Thank you, Deacon.
Thank you, sir.
Great job. Okay, our next speaker is Pastor Cesar Galarza of the Community Church of Jehovah Jireh.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you. Let me find my notes so I don't take longer than I should. Is that okay?
Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be here alongside two other leaders and advocating for the well-being of our community. As a director of Primera Food Pantry, I see firsthand the need of our community. For the past month, we have seen double our neighbors that come to our community in need of food. So it's very important for us to recognize that programs are needed. They are needed, especially our seniors, which have served our community, have give their life to our community. Now it's our turn to make sure that we take care of them. So I give thanks to Senator Schumer for coming, be here to listen to us, to take these concerns to wherever one listen to.
Thank you.
And let us, let them know that we need to serve our community. It's very important to us. We see it every day. The need is out there. It's not a statistical view. It's something that's real. We're seeing it. Our elderly and our seniors need the food, and we just want everyone to have the meal that they deserve. Many people have taken the decision of paying bills or putting their food on the table. I don't think that's fair. I think they should be able to do both and live happy like they should. So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Rebecca Menser is from the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. She's the pastor.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you to Senator Schumer for your words, for Feed More of Western New York, and for this opportunity in particular to speak about SNAP. As mentioned by Senator Schumer and my colleagues, deeply embedded in many religious traditions, including my own, is a call to care for the vulnerable, the forgotten, the outcast, and the poor, not just as an act of charity, but as a mandate, as a way of justly upholding the dignity and worth of each person in this world. And as a people who literally depend upon food for our very survival and well-being, is there any better way of doing this than by giving people the food they need in order to survive? For the past 16 years, I have pastored in Western New York, serving a community where many of the people live somewhere between just getting by and barely surviving. their community made up of the hardest working people that I know, people who, while their resources may often be scarce, do everything they can to take care of one another and their neighbors in need. And they are also a community where many of them depend greatly upon government programs like SNAP. It can be hard to remember. I know that behind each SNAP benefit is a real person, a real family, and a real story. So let me tell you two. First is the woman in my congregation who, from the age of 14, has worked whatever job she could find to support herself and later, as a single mother, her son. She's been a server, a hotel and house cleaner, a retail worker. She has worked so hard for so long over the course of her life that her body has literally broken down. And she can no longer move without the help of a wheelchair, let alone work. And so now she and her family desperately depend upon SNAP. And then there's the retired veteran who spent years saving each penny that he earned to take care of himself, his wife, and his three sons, and who now, having spent almost all of his savings on nursing care for his wife, gratefully spends his SNAP money each month to feed his increasingly frail body. Yes, it can be hard to remember that behind these benefits are real people and real children and real seniors, but this is the reality. These are the people and communities SNAP serves daily. And without programs like this, my church, our partnership with the Tri-Community Food Pantry, and our community garden would not be able to come close to meeting the needs of our neighbors who cannot afford to eat, who are made by systems that value the wealthy and powerful to feel unworthy or not good enough. We cannot allow our families, our friends, and our neighbors to go hungry in order to save money for those who already have more than enough, more than what they need. Our mandate to work for justice and for a life for all people that is better than just barely surviving is clear. And we, like Senator Schumer and all these other community leaders I stand with today, must demand that the people in our communities be allowed to thrive, be allowed to eat. We must demand that our leaders, both locally and nationally, uphold the dignity of all people through programs like SNAP, instead of choosing to take the very food off of their plates, leaving them nothing but scraps.
Thank you very much, Betsy. Well done. And our final speaker is a SNAP recipient. We could have had many, of course. There are so many in Western New York. It's Gail Potter.
Thank you, Gail.
My husband and I, we were both receiving SSD, no fault of our own. We both became disabled. I at the age of 49, my husband at the age of 52. Needless to say, that put a big damper on our budget. If it weren't for SNAP, I can't even tell you what would have happened to us. 4 years ago, my husband developed bladder cancer, and I was grateful for SNAP that I was able to go out and buy the high protein drinks that he needed, like Ensure and Boost, that his doctors at Roswell recommended. Without SNAP, I wouldn't have been able to do that. My husband now passed away this past July. Thank you very much. My first concern wasn't being able to mourn my husband, but what was I gonna do? I lost my husband's income, and even though it was very little on SST, I now had to rely on just my SST to continue on. And if it weren't for SNAP, and the food pantry that I volunteer at that has made sure that I eat, I don't know where I would be right now today. I am imploring everybody, do not cut SNAP, because I don't know what I will do for my next meal otherwise. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Okay, we'll first take questions on this subject. Questions?
Senator, yes, perhaps.
Mr. Plant.
Would like to address this.
change in terms of distribution, the MAHA boxes, which you probably heard about. Unlike the current approach using food banks, which provide those in need with shelf-stable foods that are high in sodium and other harmful ingredients, MAHA boxes would be filled with commodities sourced from domestic farmers and given directly to American households. That's the Trump administration's proposal.
Yeah.
Anybody from the food banks here to address that?
Would you like to answer it? Colin will.
Thank you for the question, Ron. So a couple of things. So that program specifically relies on CSFP funding, which we do not receive. So it will be no impact to Feed More Western New York if there is a change. But what I want to make clear related to the way that's worded, specific to Feed More, and I'm not speaking on behalf of other food banks, but we can take you through the warehouse, show you our coolers, show you our freezer, show you where all of the proteins that we store are, where all the healthy fruits and vegetables are. This is not a food bank that only is distributing non-perishables or things that are high in sodium. There are healthy foods that are distributed from here daily. We have a farm market truck, three of them actually, that travel around our service area with high value, locally grown produce. We're growing produce ourselves in two shipping container hydroponic farms at our other facility. We're all about healthy and nutritious food. It is imperative that we're delivering nutritious food and not just things that are non-perishable and things that fill your stomach. That's important to all of us.
Yeah, I gotta say, Ron, I think it's insulting. These food banks care about the health of their people and they feed them the healthiest foods available. And the idea of trying to cut and replace just is cruel. I think it's an excuse. Other questions?
Senator,
yes, sir.
You mentioned trying to persuade the House Republicans from New York State on this issue. Have you had any conversations with them? Have they given you any indication where they stand on that?
You know, the conversations I'd like to have are the people to them. Public sentiment is everything. So I'm here asking the people of Western New York who care about people like we just heard about, call their congressman, call their representative, even call your local town official and tell them to call their congressman. That's the way we can persuade them. I've talked publicly about it. I've talked at New York delegation meetings about it over the years. But the best way to persuade these people, they're afraid of Trump and his MAGA cuts, but public sentiment can prevail. Okay? All right, I'm going to talk about three other things, and you can have a Q&A on those. The first one is on tariffs, the tariff statements that the president made. Well, look, sadly, it looks like China has again gotten the better of Trump. In fact, the Chinese made virtually no concessions. And this is another example of Trump chaos. Okay? He has one policy one day, one policy the next day. Who knows what it'll be 30 days from now? On drug prices, the president talked about he would talk to the drug companies, he'd try to lower prices. This is just what he tried in 2020, and prices didn't go down. The bottom line is that the people who have really reduced the drug prices are Democrats when we were in charge. We got insulin for senior citizens at $35. We're now negotiating on the 20 of the most used drugs to lower those prices dramatically. And we put a limit that no family should pay more than $2,000 a year for all their prescription drugs. And finally, on Medicaid, the cuts that they've announced to Medicaid are the greatest cuts to Medicaid ever. You can be certain if they make this level of cuts, hospitals here in Western New York and around the country will close. Thousands will lose their jobs, and millions will not get the health care they need. People will be less healthy and their lives will be put at risk by such devastating cuts on Medicaid. Nursing homes will close. What will families, younger families that have their older parents in a nursing home do? It's just outrageous. Again, all for cuts for the billionaires. And finally, on the airplane, the gutter airplane. Look, I think this is bribery. It's international bribery. It ought to be investigated and it ought to be prohibited and stopped. It's outrageous. Okay? Any other questions on or comments on what I said? Mr. Plant.
Yes. Can you think of anything that the Trump administration or Republicans have done that you agree with, which actually might be a good idea? Is there any?
Look, we're all for cutting out waste, and there is some waste in the government. They just haven't shown what that specific waste is. I'm all for going after China, but do it in a smart way. I've been a China hawk all along, but do it in a smart way. Don't go have all the nations of the world ally with China and go against us. Instead, we should have made the other nations of the world our allies and then go against China.
Just one other question regarding the sweeping executive order regarding pharmaceutical prices.
Yes.
I spoke to an independent pharmacist. He said this is the best thing the president could have done. He said Democrats tried to do it under the Biden administration. It was limited to 10 drugs.
Now it's 20.
That was it.
Now it's 20.
But his contention is that this will cut out the middleman and really put pressure on pharmaceutical companies, which make a lot of money. And you yourself have talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
And
I want
his contention is that the president's action is going to be a major benefit to seniors who depend upon prescriptions, the name brand drugs.
Okay. All I'm saying is the president said about the same thing in 2020, and nothing happened. Let's see if prices come down. If they come down, it's a good thing for everybody. But in the past, when Democrats have lowered the price on 20 of the most used drugs and put a limit of $2,000 on any what anyone paid, our Republican colleagues opposed us. We'll see.
Didn't the lobbyists from the pharmaceutical company to kind of constrain things, to be very honest?
Listen, the changes we made were the greatest decrease in the price of prescription drugs that we've seen, period. Everyone said, let's have Medicare negotiate with the drug companies. The pharmaceutical industry resisted it. We fought and fought and got it agreed to. 10 drugs a year. So now 20 of the most used drugs, prices are way down. And it's going to, every year there are going to be more, but even more important, no family pays more than $2,000. So if you have a kid with cancer, and they have a drug that costs $1,200 a month, and in the past you didn't know what to do, there's now a cap.
So you don't think President Trump is serious now?
Well, we'll see. All I'm saying is in 2020, he said about the same thing, and nothing happened.